So today kicks off Holy Week. Everybody say Holy Week. Holy Week. Today kicks off Holy Week today. And so if we would, Uncle Lawrence. Uncle Lawrence, if you could just put some strings on and just for about 60 seconds, I'm just going to give a sneak peek. So if anybody's watching and don't know what Holy Week means, because everybody may not know what Holy Week means. Why is it holy? What happened on today? What happens tomorrow if we step back in time? Holy Week. Of course, today is called Palm Sunday. It's triumphal entry of Christ. Anytime Christ enters into a situation, it is triumphal. It is victorious. Amen. Anytime you get a revelation of Christ, it is victorious. Amen. Anytime Christ decides to show up and sends his Holy Ghost, sends his Spirit, it is grand. Everybody say a grand entrance. That's what today represents. And then on tomorrow is on Monday, Jesus clears the temple. Excuse me. I like the way some say it. He cleanses the temple. He cleanses the temple. He gets everything out that's not like Christ. What he don't like, he gets rid of it on tomorrow in the temple, in the Bible days. Amen. Everybody lift your hand and say, Lord, cleanse me. This week, cleanse me. That's what tomorrow represents. On Tuesday, good old Judas makes a deal with the devil for a little bit of money. Just for a little bit of money, just to betray our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have anybody in this room ever been betrayed, talked about, lied on, mistreated? But sometimes we have to thank God for the Judases in our lives. They push us to greatness. Thank God for the haters sometimes. Amen. On Wednesday, it's called Holy Wednesday. Everybody say Holy Wednesday. Holy Wednesday. Hagios. Holy. Hagios. 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 It's holy because it's almost like a midweek Sabbath during the Bible days. Jesus knew the hell he was about to face on Thursday, Friday. So it was almost like he knew that I needed to take a break. It's the calm before the storm. Amen. Anybody, sometimes you feel like life is good, but you feel like something is about to happen. Sometimes you feel like it can't be this good. And it's like this dichotomy of it feels good, but I know the enemy has something. And so it's like Jesus was getting ready. So he rested. It's almost like he was stacking up this energy to be mistreated, to be crucified. And so guys, in this season of, maybe this is a season of lack for some, but for you, it's not a season of lack. Perhaps in this season, we should store up. We should put trust in our trust fund. We should put praise in our trust fund. We should put worship in our trust fund. Amen. So this midweek Sabbath was Wednesday during Holy Week. On Thursday was the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper, where communion took place. Amen. And Jesus said, as often as you can, do it in remembrance of me. Amen. Always remember Jesus. Always keep him on your mind. And on Friday, everybody say Good Friday, there was the betrayal manifesting, the betrayal coming to light and revealed. Good old Judas, because of his deal with the devil, there was a trial. There was a crucifixion. Now you see why we have to thank God for the enemy. Amen. Because without Judas, there would be no crucifixion. Amen. There's a death and there's a burial. But everybody say, oh, but Saturday. Everybody say, oh, but Saturday. It's almost like a Saturday Sabbath, because Jesus is not just resting. He's just not dead. He is stirring up some things. While we think things are dead, while we think it's almost like this, while we are trying to figure things out, God is already what? He's already worked it out. Amen. This is Palm Sunday. This is not Cliche Sunday, but it's a lot of cliches I'm throwing out this morning because they fit. Amen. The name fits. Thank you, God, for working out things when I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to pay bills, how I'm going to make ends meet. And then on Sunday, on next Sunday, is Resurrection Sunday. Clap your hands for Holy Week. Just a sneak peek. I can go home right now. Thank you, Uncle Lawrence, Elder Lawrence. So today is Palm Sunday. That music just made it just kind of real. Amen. Amen. And I so appreciate, I am one of them and so are you. So I always thank God for musical gifts. Can we just thank God for Elder Lawrence? I'm biased. Yes, I'm biased. But God is so good to give individuals, folks. Give folks gifts like that. So, all right, I'm trying to dive in, trying to gear up to dive in. So Palm Sunday, it's Palm Sunday. So it's found in the Synoptic Gospels, basically Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic Gospels, basically there's three Gospels that record Palm Sunday. There's three people. I wish I had three chairs. There's almost like three. If you could give me three more chairs, actually, just put them up here. There's actually three individuals that records this account. There's three individuals that record this account, and it looks the same. Everybody say it looks the same. It looks kind of identical when you see it. It's like the same story. It's in sync. When I see Synoptic Gospel, I think of NSYNC. Everybody say NSYNC. I think there was a group called NSYNC. All right. It's like in sync, the gospel parallel. So there's at least three guys. If you can give me one for John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has something to say about what's going on today, but his perspective is a little bit different. Everybody say perspective. So we have the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They look the same. They sound the same. Amen. But then we have John over here by himself. I want to lift up the scripture real quick, 2 Timothy 2:15. We know this. I remember reading this scripture. I remember hearing this scripture as a little kid, as an eight-year-old in the local Baptist Congress of Christian Education. It was our theme scripture for many years, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to, read it out loud with me, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What in the world does this passage have to do with Palm Sunday, with the triumphal entry, with today? What does this have to do with today? Because what does have to do with the celebration that we're celebrating today? Everybody say, what does it have to do with it? Guys, let me share something. What we celebrate, others condemn. What we celebrate, others condemn. What we believe, others dismiss. What we worship, others warn against. Our facts are seen as fiction. Our convictions, others confront. Guys, I know in this room, at least in this room, I sense we're all saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. We got the t-shirt. Jesus is on our side, and we are running for our first, giving honor to who is the head of. You see, we can do this with our eyes closed. Amen. But our convictions, others confront. Discrepancies are distractions for some. Our alleged discrepancies in our Bible are distractions for others. Problems, everybody say this with me. Problems don't cancel the promise. Everybody say, noise doesn't make the Bible negative. And then others denounce what we deify. 71% of Christians who make up. Now, this was a study that was done not too long ago, and I'm imagining it may be worse now, hopefully not. But 71% of Christians who make up the majority of U.S. adults are divided over how to interpret the Bible. About 4 in 10 Christians, 39%, say that the Bible text is the Word of God and it should be taken literally. 36% say it should not be interpreted literally or express another or no opinion. 18% of Christians view the Bible as a book written by men, not by God. You don't have to raise your hand, but who believes that the Word of God is inspired by God? It's written by God, and that is true, and it's not false. I did a study a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic. My mom calls it pandemic. And this study was basically, I had a couple of questions on this study, and I was able to ask about 300 students some questions. And one question was, do you believe that a person should be able to change their identity from male to female and vice versa? So I'm Alpheus male today, and next week I will be Athena. I'm not trying to be funny, but according to many, they believe that you could be another pronoun next week, and it should be okay. All right, just want to give it context. These students says yes, 69%, yes, says yes, you should be able to change your identity. And by the way, to give you context, these were Christians. The majority of these were Christian college students. 5% says no. They have a conviction that no, I believe the Bible, and I don't think it's right that you should be able to change your identity. Amen. And then 18% says, I don't really have an opinion. I really don't know. This is a survey. This is a research that I conducted myself with my own eyes. I passed out about 300 papers. All right. Do you believe the Bible is 100% true? About 300 college students, 69% says yes. 5% says no. I don't believe that the Bible is 100% true. And then 18% says, about 19% says, I don't really know. Maybe they don't have a dog in the fight. So to me, they should be lumped in no. Because the Bible encourages us to be neither hot nor cold, right? To not be lukewarm. Let me say that again. The Bible encourages us not to be lukewarm, to be either what? Yes or no. Amen. No in-betweens. So this Palm Sunday account, now you see where I'm going. This Palm Sunday account, guys, screams to me. It is saying, Alpheus, this is apologetics at its best. This is an opportunity to contend for the faith. We are excited, but everybody's not excited. So that's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. Oh, I'm just happy. This is Holy Week. I'm happy. It's Holy Week. And we are shouting. Amen. But why are we shouting? Do we know? The Bible says, ye shall know the truth. Everybody say no. Gnosko the truth. We shall know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. It will make you free. See, we churchy in here. We know the word of God, but everybody don't necessarily gnosko the word of God. Gnosko. I know my wife in the biblical sense. We have been intimate. Amen. All adults here. And so are you intimate with the word of God? Gnosko. Ye shall know the truth. Gnosko. Be intimate with the word of God. And when you are intimate with the word of God, gnosko, it will set you free. It will make you free. Amen. He that has an ear, let him, But what does that mean? If I have ears, I can hear. Amen. But he that has an ear, let him what? Not hear, because we already know that. If you have ears, you can hear. Unless you're deaf, you can be deaf physically or you can be deaf in the spirit. He that has an ear, let him understand. That's what that means. That's why it says that twice. When you look up that word, he that has an ear, let him understand. Because in all thy hearing and getting in the word of God, Minister Jeremy and T.D. Jakes are preaching, Alphaeus, all the greats that are teaching the word of God, if you hear it and don't understand, it's like in vain. Amen? Or any one of your favorite preachers, if I didn't call it, I don't want you to be offended. I put myself in the room with T.D. Jakes. I put T.D. Jakes in a room with me. Clap your hands. Break this up. I know who I am and I know who I am not. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every wise guy, to every know-it-all, to every accuser." Be ready to give an answer to every person that has allegations against your hope, that has allegations about your joy. Malaysia, you can't be that saved. You can't be that filled with God's spirit. You guys have lost, and you're still walking in here with your head up. Really? They try to bully you. It's almost like this bullying against your hope. It's almost in 2021, it's not cool to be a Christian. It's what I am seeing on social media. Go and talk about Christ on your job every single day when you can and see what happens. But then why are other conversations allowed on your job? Amen? Be ready to give an answer, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts first, and be ready to give an answer to every man who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Everybody say, it's in me. Everybody say, God is in me. The hope is inside of me with meekness. But guys, your answer should be wrapped in meekness and fear. First, sanctify. Everybody say, number one, sanctify. And then wrap your answer in meekness and fear. Now, last week, I talked about Caleb. And Caleb, basically, he was talking to the people of God. Caleb was, he actually was so passionate when he was talking to God's people, he ripped his clothes off. Now, guys, when we're talking to unbelievers, we may not necessarily should take that posture. Amen? But when we're talking to people that should know better, we can bow. I'm not going to say cuss them out in the name of the Lord, but we can about be passionate. Listen to Quisha, you know better. You shouldn't be doing this. And it's not that offensive. That's what Caleb last week did to God's people, because they knew better. But guys, when we are speaking to unbelievers, agnostic, when we're speaking to atheists, let's sanctify ourselves first and then speak to them with meekness and fear, hoping we get it right. Because, guys, the fear that I feel right here, I feel like, what's the Tin Man on, what's the movie? You know why I feel like that? I'm honored to be up here teaching. I love to teach. But, man, it's also scary to be up here trying to teach, amen, and trying to say, I have the answers. But that's the posture you have to take. I am only able to get up here and teach, to teach students, to teach college students the word of God, because I know I am not teaching my opinion. But that still doesn't change my knees doing this. You can't see it, and y'all laughing at me. The answers that we're going to walk through today, because some of the accusations are really common sense. Duh, they're easy to answer. It doesn't make it easy, even though the answers are easy to some of these accusations as it relates to Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry and even the resurrection. Did Jesus really die? Did he really die? Was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Is Jesus' resurrection just a story? Like the Grinch that stole Christmas. Is it just really a story? How do we know it's true? How do we know everything that happened this week is really true? I just believe it. That's not enough for the young man that I saw earlier this week that says, listen, I grew up in church and I don't believe. I have a lot of questions. I am still personally going to shout off not just, and the Bible says, and the Bible. I am shouting off the truth. We have shouted off far less, but today, guys, this is really a shout message because we can shout on the truth. Amen. Ye will know the truth, and the truth will make you shout. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You don't have to have a preaching voice. I've heard a gentleman this week, he was delivering the word of God, and I really wanted to just run to Atlanta on that word. And that's how excited I get about just hearing the word of God. Clap your hands just because the word of God is so wonderful and true. Amen. Every chance I get. So there are many accusations about our Bible, all right? There are many accusations, and so allegedly, our Bible has errors. Allegedly. Our Bible has contradictions. So in other words, the accusation is, why are you celebrating Palm Sunday? Everybody say, why? Just think about it in your head. Why are we celebrating the triumphal entry of Christ? Because, sir, the triumphal entry, the accounts in your Bible from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're similar, but they are different. There's some discrepancies in your Bible that you believe. It's mismatched. Some things don't add up. So therefore, you are worshiping a false god. You are celebrating something in vain. And it sounds like to me, somebody got some explaining to do. And you need to get your lie together. Now, how does that make you feel if you are a Christian? And somebody says, I'm a Christian. And they say, well, okay. Get your lie together and tell me why you are a Christian and why do you believe in Christ? Man, that just makes me like want to just, my knees ain't doing this no more. My knees is doing like, all right, I'm just getting ready like a bull. Is it a bull that kind of do this? I am ready to go in for the man that set me free. I am ready to go in for the man. I have never missed a meal. I'm ready to go to blows and defend the Bible that put me where I am today. I'm ready to fight for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have made a decision a long time ago. And when you tell me to get my lie together, I'm ready to go. But remember, the Bible says, be ready to give an answer with what? Meekness and fear. So I have to calm down when they tell me to get your lie together. Get your lie together. Get your lie together. Get your lie together. Mom Veda, get your lie together. I know you're ready. I know you're ready to do something. Jay, get your lie together. Martha, get your lie together. How does that make you feel? Whew, how do we answer these questions? I'm boiling on the inside just at the thought. Frank Turek says, it's not your job to refute what they say. It's their job to support what they say. I say that one more time. Everybody say, it is not my job to refute what they say. It's their job to support what they say. I ain't with it. You gonna try to give me some busy work? Let me give you some busy work. That's what it really says. You ain't gonna give me busy work. I'm gonna give you busy work. For an example, your Bible is wrong and full of errors. That's the accusation. So how are we gonna respond to that? They just gave you busy work, something to think about. Now you're thinking negatively about your God and your Bible. You're gonna respond by saying, can you describe in detail the errors that you have so eloquently described, not, and picked out? Put it back in their courts. Answer a question with a question. Amen. Alpheus, you are a bigot. House of Judah, Christian, you are a bigot because your Bible doesn't agree with my lifestyle. You are a bigot. Bigot. So now they're giving me busy work because now my blood pressure is up because they're calling me out of my name. I wasn't born a bigot. My name is not bigot. It is Alphaeus. It is whatever your name is. So respond with this. Can you define to me what bigot means? What is bigot? With meekness and fear, because you're hoping that your response shut them down because you don't know where to go after this. Can you explain to me what does bigot mean? All because I don't agree with your lifestyle? Are you telling me that a bigot is somebody that doesn't agree with somebody else? So that means you're a bigot, right? Perhaps you are a bigot since you're intolerant of my beliefs. But I'm not going to call you a bigot because I'm not a bigot. So you see how we can respond to these accusations? Amen. They're trying to interrupt our peace, our Holy Week. If you don't think Holy Week, the enemy is trying to interrupt Holy Week. I'm not going to tell you to look it up, but he is trying to interrupt Holy Week with some God-awful things on social media. He is trying to distract us this week. Amen. And he's trying to mix it up. He's trying to take some things that we know and some things that we believe and then and mix it with some things that we don't believe and that we don't embrace. I'm not going to give him airtime, but ask me after this teaching what I'm talking about, and I'll give you the tea on what I'm talking about. I don't want to give him airtime. These are some more generic rebuttals, all right? And encouragement. I know this is a little different for triumphal entry Palm Sunday, but guys, we are in 2021. And it's pretty much tough out here in these good old streets. Amen. Yes, we're coasting. We're comfortable. We got food. We have shelter. But guys, God didn't just put us here on earth to exist and be comfortable and be happy. He put us here on earth to make some noise. Amen. And to get as many as we can out of this burning building before it comes down. Raise your hand if you're not selfish. The hope that's in you, let's tell somebody else. Raise your hand if you're not selfish. If you want to just, yes. When was the last time you told somebody else about the goodness of Jesus? When was the last time you confronted somebody with meekness and said, listen, I think you should choose Christ. I mean, very simple, nothing deep. I think you should choose Christ. Consider choosing Christ. Are you saved? Are you? What does that mean? When have we been on the offensive? Amen? Let's beat them to the punch. Different doesn't warrant denouncing. That should be our response. Just because it's different, just because Matthew sounds different than Mark, sounds different than Luke in our Bible, doesn't mean we should denounce it. Number two, omission of content doesn't mean ousting the content. Just because one person in the Bible, in the Synoptic Gospels, omitted something, doesn't mean we should oust it. You forgot to say something, Luke. Why you don't sound like Mark? It's not true. You can be like, man, what do I say to that? Number three, summary is not sinful. Summary is not sinful. It's okay to summarize in our Bible. Amen. Don't get distracted by majoring in the minor and minoring in the major. Majoring in the minor, not the letter. I feel like keep going. Answer a question with questions. Make them responsible for the rebuke. And then lastly, context will confront contempt. So once you have context, it will confront contempt. All right, I'm going to have to give these slides, and we can put these slides on the website here. The second half of the teaching today is, this is how I'm going to do this and summarize today's teaching. Guys, I just want you to see Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John in the Bible. I just want you to kind of just have a snapshot. I know Facebook family, it may be different for you visually, but Sweets, can you back up a couple of slides? So we have this account, today's account, the Palm Sunday account, triumphal entry. This is what Matthew had to say. This is what Mark had to say. I'm going to skip past it because a lot of y'all look sleepy. It's warm in here. Amen. I got this good old jacket on. It's hot in here. And when you get hot, what happens? Guys, there's water in the back. It's about 25 cents, you know, but if you leave 50 cents, it's water right back here. You're welcome to get it. Matthew had to say what he had to say. Mark right here. Luke, look what Luke had to say in Luke 19. This is the same account, triumphal entry. And then we see John's account. It's a little different. It peaks at some of what Matthew, Mark, and Luke said, but it leaves out basically everything that they said. Okay? That's common in the synoptic gospels. But guys, this is a summary. This is my little chart here. So you have Jesus. He has taken this journey to Jerusalem. I'm going to summarize this up in about 2 minutes. And Mark, he is also recording this account. Jesus is taking this journey to Jerusalem. Luke says Jesus is taking this journey to Jerusalem. But then Matthew mentions the city Bethpage. Basically, Jesus is hanging out in the city. But then Luke adds another city. He mentions Bethpage and Bethany. But Matthew didn't mention Bethany. So y'all see the difference? So what do we do with that? Then you have here, Matthew actually tells us that Jesus coming to Jerusalem on a donkey and a colt was prophesied. But does Mark mention anything about a prophecy? No. So it's like, why does Matthew have insight on this prophecy, Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey and a colt? First of all, Mark only mentions a colt. And then Mark says, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a colt that no one has ever sat on. So y'all see the discrepancy? Y'all may not think this is a big deal, and you may be okay with it. They're basically saying the same thing. No. These guys are taking the discrepancies, and they are making them distractions. But in Luke, it also mentions a colt that no one has ever sat on. And then it mentions Jesus will return on a colt. But it doesn't mention a colt and a donkey. Then Luke mentions Jesus cleansing the temple on the same day. But my summary of Holy Week mentioned Jesus cleansing the temple on Monday. So did he cleanse the temple on Monday, or did he cleanse the temple on the same day of the triumphal entry, Sunday? What do we do with that? Do you have answers to that? Did he cleanse the temple on the same day or on Monday? John, basically, he journeys the detail of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and he's very vague. All right? And we're talking about John. You are one of the four Gospels. Were you asleep? Then John says there was a donkey found by Jesus. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, most of those Gospels talk about Jesus sending two disciples to find the donkey. But then John says Jesus found the donkey himself. It's like the enemy tries to just get us in this circle of confusion. And so now we have questions, and then our problems is causing us to cancel the promise of God. And this noise is making us look at the Bible negatively. What do we do with this? In John, the people around Jerusalem are not surprised by his visit. Guys, I know this feels like class or whatever. Y'all okay? This is exciting to me. In John, the people are like, the Bible mentions that the people are surprised by Jesus coming. In another book, they are not surprised. As a matter of fact, proof that they are not surprised. So in Matthew, they are surprised by his visit. All right. And then in other gospels, they are not surprised because they were prepared to get Palm Sunday. They were prepared to get the branches. They already had them prepared. Amen. They put them on the ground. But guys, in one passage, I'm just trying to confuse you all like they could try to confuse us. How can Jesus ride on a donkey and a coat? Does he have one leg on one animal and another leg on the other animal? Guys, y'all sound foolish. Y'all sound crazy. What kind of Bible are you reading? Remember, don't let discrepancies cause distractions. So what do we do with this? I want to sum up today with only maybe one or two strategies. Because we don't have to denounce different. Say this with me. We don't have to denounce different. Perhaps there were two triumphal entries. This wasn't the first time Jesus came into Jerusalem. Amen. Remember, I started today with anytime Jesus show up, it's what? It's a big deal. Amen. So every time the King of Kings show up, it's a triumphal entry. Now you see how I have an answer. I am ready to give an answer because, guys, when Jesus showed up in my life, it was a big deal. And many people, this is a great strategy. They cannot argue with your testimony. They come to you with an accusation about your Bible, your God, you start to testify and then count to 60, and they won't be there when you're at 60. Watch what happens. Perhaps he came more than once because Bethany was really close. And then on an animal, it could be really a short journey. So it's not unheard of that Jesus went to Jerusalem more than once. And now that explains the different accounts of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. So my mom and my dad had five kids, two sets of twins and a girl. Five of us talked to my mom on Mother's Day. My brother Marcel says she wants Cash App tomorrow. Marcus says she wants me to post her Cash App on my Facebook page because I have a lot of followers. And if you post it, Marcus, you're going to get me a lot of money if you post it on your Facebook page. My mom tells my sister Ursula, I call her Dashika, she wants me to bring her some money. And so my sister reports back, yes, mom wants me to bring her some money. My mom tells me, I want you to take me to Ruth Chris, and I want you to give me a card with some cash in it. So when we report this back, differently, what my mom said, I want you to summarize what my mom basically said with one word. I'm going to count to three, all right? On the count of three, my mom talked to all of her kids, and we reported something differently, but the summary is basically, my mom wants what? She wants some cash. That's pretty much what my mom wants. So answer these questions as it relates to the triumphal entry, all right? So basically the gist of it, that's all I need to know. I just need to know the gist. I don't need to know that my mama's blood pressure was 121 over 70. I don't need to know my mom's heart rate. I know my mom was living, my mama was breathing, and she said she wants some cash for Mother's Day. All I need to know, and all that I know in my heart, and I feel in my heart that Jesus came, he was born, he died, and he was resurrected, and he's coming back for me. That's all I need to know, and that's what I feel in my heart. Sometimes it takes that, too. Amen? I did talk to my mom. She wants some cash. I talked to my mom. She said she wants a Cash App. I talked to my mom. She wants cash and a card. It's different accounts, but basically it is summarizing that my mom wants cash. Thank you, Lord, because you really did die. The evidence points to you dying. Why are you so popular? Why are you so attractive? Something happened, amen. Something happened, amen. Something happened on today. I'm going to close today with this. Is it possible, answer this question, is it possible Jesus returned to Jerusalem? Is it possible the temple needed cleansing again? So one accusation is, man, this is erroneous. Did Jesus cleanse the temple on the same day, on the day before? What's going on? What's happening here? So somebody's off. Get your lie together. Perhaps Jesus cleansed the temple more than one time. Do we need God to renew our minds more than one time? Yes, we do. All right, bottom line today. I'm almost finished. First of all, Matthew 19:26 says, when they're trying to question your God, they're trying to question a supreme being, holy, 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 somebody that's holy. It's not that God is different than Alpheus. God is not better than Alpheus. He is other than Alpheus. He is not better than us. He is other than us. He is halal. He is holy. He is sacred. He is other than. So Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. It can happen. It can happen. It can happen. It's not false, because with God, all things are possible. Bottom line today, one of my favorite preachers or pastors says it like this. I'm going to steal it. I just like to hear him say it. Summary! Bottom line today, guys, the Bible can be used against you. Study to show yourself approved and be ready to give an answer. Defend what you believe passionately. Passionately. And guys, in 2021, there are actually some Christians that believe, but their prayer is, Lord, help my unbelief. All right, you may stand. I didn't want to wrap it up around about now. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And guys, these questions that we have about the Bible are okay. They are okay. But as we progress in life and it becomes 2022, 2023, 2024, it's only going to get more. The enemy is going to try to turn up the heat in the furnace. Are you going to bow? Maybe this is for veteran Christians. Maybe this is for the unbeliever. Maybe this is for the college student. Maybe it's for the elementary students. But guys, are we going to bow when they turn up the heat as it relates to accusations about your God? Ye shall know the truth, gnosko, and the truth will set you free. Set you free, excuse me, will set you free. Let's just pray this prayer. Say, Lord, I want to know you better. Lord, I want to know you better. Lord, I want to understand your word better. Lord, I want to understand your word better. God, forgive me for being too busy to take 20 minutes out of one week uninterrupted to study your word. God, forgive me for ignoring your word. God, forgive me for relying only on Sunday morning teaching. I have the word in my phone. I have 10 Bibles. God, don't let me walk by your word and not feel convicted to read it and study it and understand it. Your word hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Your word I have hidden in my heart. I have softened. I have hidden. I am hoarding your word in my heart, so that I might not sin, and so that I can defend what I believe. Guys, we're veteran Christians in this room. We're veterans. We know how to make it work. But let's step it up in this season to contend for the faith. And most importantly, rescue who we can. Let's just rescue who we can. And there's a generation, you may open your eyes. Guys, this is just a heart to heart. There's a generation, I'm telling you, there's a generation, they're not going to follow Christ until you know what you're talking about as it relates to God's word. I am not the only youth minister in this room. Everybody in this room, you are a youth minister. Because you got nieces and nephews and grandkids. Amen. It's a knowledge based salvation. We can prove it. We can prove that Jesus lives, and we can prove that God lives. And we can prove that today happened. We can prove that tomorrow happened. We can prove that Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday happened. And we can prove the resurrection happened. We can prove Noah's Ark did exist. We can prove the flood really happened. Amen. We can prove the Bible. Amen. Are you going to stop going to your doctor because he sins? You're going to take that medication and that prescription from your doctor every single day, right? Let's not let the container hinder what's inside the container, if that makes sense. Let's not let the messenger hinder the message. God will deal with that. But if they're speaking truth, the Bible says, let them preach. Let them preach it. Let's be sanctified. The Bible says, let's be sanctified and then give an answer with meekness and fear. So as we end today, this is our challenge for us veteran Christians to not only be sanctified so they can believe us. We're studied. We know this Bible inside and out, but we cuss on the side. We drink heavily on the side. You see how not being sanctified is a hindrance to contending for the faith? I'm beating my wife and then I'm preaching. And then there's about 10 of my neighbors see that. And then they hear that I'm a Christian. I can't say nothing to them as it relates to my Bible because I'm not sanctified. Hopefully I'm bringing this home. I don't beat my wife. She has a CWP. Y'all wouldn't hear from me ever again. What happened to him? Well, it only took one shot. But that ain't gonna never happen. Amen. It's never gonna happen. So as we celebrate today and this week, let's take 20 minutes this week. Let's take 20 minutes this week, at least 20 minutes, and study what happened this week, and let God speak to you where Alpheus and his unique ability to deliver cannot really pierce your heart. All right. God can speak to you like no one else can. Clap your hands for his word today. God is so good. He is so awesome. And if you're watching online, just in case, and you heard something that sounded different from your everyday life, say, Lord, I repent. I want that different spirit that Alpheus is talking about. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. I know Alpheus talked about cleansing a temple, but God, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my spirit. Lord, I surrender to you. If you're watching online, just say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. My life is yours. My mind is yours. Thank you for saving me. And I promise to serve you forever, because forever you are my king. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Hope you enjoyed today. Hope you learned something. And we will get these notes on the website somehow. Get them to you if you like them. Raise your hand if you think you may want these notes, these scriptures. See, I'm already giving you the content to study in your 20 minutes. So that's half of the battle. And if you don't see it on the website soon, just make sure you reach out to us so you can meet your quota this week. That 20 minutes. Amen. Blessings. You are dismissed.